Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20, Conversation between Maitreya and Vidura, text number 32. Is that correct? Aho rupam maho dharyam.
Aho rupam maho dharyam.
Aho asya navam vayah.
Aho asya navam vayah.
Madhye kamaya mananam.
Madhye kamaya mananam.
Akameva visarpati.
Akameva visarpati.
Aho rupam maho dharyam.
Aho rupam maho dharyam.
Aho asya navam vayah. Majeka maya mananam. Akameva visarpati. Aho. O. Rupam. What beauty. Aho. O. Dharyam. What self-control. Aho. O, asyaha, her, navam, budding, vayaha, youth, madhye, in the midst, kamayamananam, of those passionately longing for, akama, free from passion. Eva, like Visapati, walking with us. The demons praised her. Oh, what a beauty. What rare self-control. What a budding youth. In the midst of us all who are passionately longing for her, she is moving about like one absolutely free from passion. Vitarkayanto bahudha tam sandhyam pramada kritim abhisambhavya visrambhat pariyapritsyan kumedasaha. Indulging in various speculations about the evening twilight, which appeared to them endowed with the form of a young woman, the wicked-minded asuras treated her with respect and fondly spoke to her as follows. Kasi kasyasi ramburu kovartas te trabhamini rupadravina panyena durbhagano vibhadase. Who are you, O pretty girl? Whose wife or daughter are you? And what can be the object of your appearing before us? Why do you tantalize us, unfortunate as we are, with the priceless commodity of your beauty? Purport. The mentality of the demons in being enamored by the false beauty of this material world is expressed herein. The demoniac can pay any price for the skin beauty of this material world. They work very hard, all day and night, but the purpose of their hard work is to enjoy sex life. Sometimes they misrepresent themselves as karma yogis, not knowing the meaning of the word yoga. Yoga means to link up with the Supreme Personality of Godhead or to act in Krishna consciousness. A person who works very hard, no matter in what occupation, and who offers the result of the work to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is called a karma yogi. Timirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Vilitam Jena Tasmaye Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dadatitva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. Oh, what a beauty. When I was a young fellow, I used to work on building sites as a builder's labourer. This is a common occurrence. If even an unattractive woman walked down the street, then all the labourers would be calling out, "Oh, what a beauty!" So this is a time-honoured tradition. of the demons, it's mentioned here. Of the demons, the asuras, who are attracted by the impermanence of the material creation and bewildered by the forms that are presented. Those in a mode of goodness and who by good association are primarily devotees, understand the nature of material existence. And even though there may be an attraction to these things, they don't. You know, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita how the mind is like, the mind of a transcendentalist is like the ocean. And so, just as rivers flow into the ocean but don't disturb the ocean because of its depth and because of its size. So similarly also, for one who's aware of the workings of the material energy, they're not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter into the mind. Because a transcendentalist or a person who's cultivated the mind of goodness, and you know, goodness means is exemplified in the character of a brahmana, samodamas tapo satcham, and so you know, jnanam vijnanam astikyam, they're learned. And not only learned, but they're able to put that learning into practice. And so therefore, they're able to control the mind and the senses. And so long as we're embodied, so long as we've got a body, there will always be inputs coming in. The knowledge acquiring and the working senses will always be active. So long as there's a spirit soul in the body, there'll be activity. So that means there'll be sensual inputs. And as a result of our engagement with the material energy over many, many lifetimes, those sensual inputs, such as seeing the form of a beautiful woman, create responses, emotional responses in the mind. Right? It is a natural, common occurrence that can't be stopped. But a person in a mode of goodness with a depth of understanding and a realization of the workings of the material energy is not impelled or compelled to act or to respond as a result of those inputs and as a result of the responses that come out of the mind. Natural occurrences. So, you know, you put in the form of an attractive woman, and so then, or whatever might be attractive, and so therefore that will elicit automatically a mental response. Right? And we see it here, it's manifest here in these demons. They see an attractive young girl, and then, well, actually, they haven't even seen an attractive girl. This is the irony of this situation. They're so pushed by the modes, by calm, which is effectively the mode of passion, as Krishna explains in the second and third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Pushed by the mode of passion, they're seeing in the material energy something which isn't even there. This mood of enjoyment. Actually, the material energy is designed for suffering. That's what it's designed for. But it presents all of these attractive features that those impelled by the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance, it pushes them to try to enjoy the material energy, whereas in actual fact, the material energy is just setting them up for suffering. What is it? Yehi samspasaja boga dukkayo naya evate. It's the source of suffering. Right? This interaction between the senses and the sense objects and the mental interactions or the emotional interactions that take place. Adhyanta vanta kuntaya nateshu ramate buddha. The intelligent buddha, intelligent persons, don't seek pleasure in these interactions of the material energy. Why? They have a beginning and a anta end. And so what is very attractive in the beginning, this is the mode of passion, what is very attractive in the beginning becomes a source of suffering in the end. So that's why dukkha yonaya, it's the source or the birth of or the beginning of suffering. So those in the mode of goodness, even though they may observe the same things and they may also observe, okay, this is attractive, at least for the material estimation of things, they're still aware emotionally and intellectually that the objects of the senses that appear enjoyable, at least initially, will ultimately end up in there being suffering, and so therefore don't engage with the objects of the senses, but are able to look at things more dispassionately and compassionately also, and able to see the workings of Krishna within the material energy, right? And is able to see the beauty, but understand where the beauty comes from and why it's beautiful. And why also one should, you know, control the senses, the mind and the senses. So we get the example of the tortoise In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we get the example of the tortoise, where the transcendentalist or the yogi might see or does see the same forms, but withdraws the senses. And so rather than contemplating the senses, they contemplate the internal. And so Prabhupada's always saying in his books that the transcendentalist or the yogi has to see with the eye of Shastra, rather than seeing the external forms. One actually has to look internally and see that despite all of the different forms and all of the different creations, internally everybody's the same. This is the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness sees all living entities as being equal. Okay, yes, different forms. But one sees the different forms in terms of each living entity being awarded the results of their past activities. What is it? Pandita Samadarshanaha. What's the first line of that? Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastani Suni Chaiva Svapakecha Pandita Sama Darshanaha. Not an easy platform to come to. But there's that story of Prabhupada being angry at one of the Pandal programs in India, and he was not angry, but you know, vigorously preaching against somebody's questioning, line of questioning. And then Prabhupada was getting quite visibly animated, and somebody in the audience said, Swamiji, he should be Pandita Samadarshanaha. Prabhupada said, yes, but that's not a very easy platform to be on. Not so easy. But despite it not being easy, that's what's recommended. One has to, and this is why we need to be absorbed every day in the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we need to basically either hear or read. Reading basically is internally hearing. We need to be associating with the Shastra and with the commentaries on the Shastra from those who have the vision. That's why Prabhupada's books are so, you know, despite Prabhupada saying that he wasn't Pandita Samadarshanaha, we know he was. Right? Prabhupada very much fixed on the vision or on the platform of this Shastra Chakshush or Jnana Chakshush. Because that's the only way that we're able to transcend this the mode of passion. Or one of the ways, not the only way, but certainly, you know, it's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam is our very means of conquest. Right? And what are we trying to conquer? We're trying to conquer the influence of the mode of passion and ignorance and try to cultivate the mode of goodness. Because the whole process of devotion, we don't have to extraneously we don't have to make any extra effort to cultivate the mode of goodness. Our devotional process is the mode of goodness. Actually, better than the mode of goodness, it's Shuddhasattva, because we're engaged automatically in devotional service, which is beyond the mode of goodness. This is why we give devotees a Brahman initiation, right? Anyway, who can tell me? Why do we give devotees Brahman initiation at the second initiation? Why do we do that? Huh? Yeah, that's a practical But why do we award people the Brahman initiation at second initiation? Why do we do that? What's the rationale for doing that? We're not born Brahmanas. Yes, they're steady. True, that's why we do it. We assume they have. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, more than assume, we test them. We see, make sure that they're steady. But why do we do that? What's the reasoning? Well, they should already be. But why do we do that? Because a Vaishnava is considered to have all of the good qualities of a Brahmana and beyond. Right? That's why we do it. Why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced the Brahmana initiation. Wasn't given to the Vaishnavas before that. Did you know that? You know, some of the early initiations... Well, early initiations after Mahaprabhu, there weren't even names given, nor a fire jagya was performed. In fact, the name giving ceremony and taking the vows of 16 rounds, ordinarily a fire jagya wouldn't be performed at that time, because it's not a Vedic sacrifice. Did you know that?
Are you saying the giving of names?
Giving of the name and the taking of the vows, chanting 16 rounds, following the four regulated principles. It's not a Vedic jagya. It's not a Vedic sacrifice. The Vedic sacrifice is part of the, what is called diksha, is part of the Pancharatra system. Of the Vedic, what you might call the Vedic system, which is done according to the rules of the Pancharatra. But the first, what we call the first initiation, the giving of the names, the taking of the vows and so forth, that is part of the Bhagavat Vidhi, not part of the Pancharatra Vidhi. Huh? Anyway. We give the second initiation or the Brahminical initiation, the Vedic initiation, so that people can do the deity worship. That's part of that whole Pancharatra process. Because a Vaishnava is considered to be better than a Brahmana, have all of the good qualities of a Brahmana. That puts a lot of responsibility on us, doesn't it? We need to pull our socks up. Or make sure our socks are pulled up. Huh? Kept pulled up. So, to maintain that mode of goodness, to maintain those Vaishnava qualities, which automatically incorporate the qualities of a Brahmana, we need to be up early in the morning, worship the deity, go to Mangalarti, chant our rounds, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, study the Bhagavad Gita, because in order to see with the vision of the Shastra, one has to be firmly fixed in the mode of goodness. And if we're heavily influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance, then we'll be, it'll be very, very difficult, almost impossible, to withstand the influence of the mode of passion. And what happens with the mode of passion? When you see the form of something attractive in the material world, you can't help but fall for it. Anybody experienced that? Just occasionally. Huh? Just occasionally. You know, I was, not that I'm free from these things, but I surprised how powerful this energy is, because we know, but we're practiced in cultivating knowledge and cultivating the mode of goodness. And so we can see the difference between the mode of goodness and the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. The karmis can't see these things, even. They just can't see them. Right? I was talking to my next door neighbour, who's a nice guy, sort of. He's quite a famous footballer. Premiership, you know, captain for North Melbourne. So, quite a lad, right? But I won't mention any names, and I hope he's not listening to this lecture. Probably not. But anyway, you know, I was having conversations, and I've noticed there's women walking up and down the street. I'm talking to him, but he's somewhere else. I mean, what are you doing, you idiot? and you know, they're even girls that are much, you know, he's probably 35, you know, in his late 30s, and they're young girls, in, you know, 18-year-old girls walking by, and he said, "Hi, how's it going?" I think, what are you doing, you idiot? So anyway, and he's not, you know, that's just normal. In the ordinary course of affairs, that kind of behaviour is probably, you know, is considered normal. But as devotees, our business is to rise above this mode of passion and see things as they really are. That's our role as brahmanas. The brahmanas are the leaders of society, and so they're meant to show a higher standard of engagement. Of course, as Kaśyapa mentioned the other day, the activities of the transcendentalists, the activities of the brahmanas, the activities of the Vaishnavas are like darkness, right? Like night to the non-devotees. You know, we tell them no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. I say, what do you do for fun? How do you guys have any fun? For them, controlling the mind and the senses is anathema. You know, it's like, what are you doing that for? Huh? Why restrict yourself? You know, they'll say, it's not healthy. I tried that, but it doesn't work. I tried that. It just caused me a lot of trouble. Huh? So, you know, without the higher taste, without having an appreciation of the higher taste of devotional service and a higher taste of the mode of goodness, or certainly Shuddhisattva, devotional practice, one can't withstand or withhold these forces. Actually, it's impossible. Daivihi esha gunamayi, mama maya duratyaya, Krishna says. Very, very difficult. But it can be done if one surrenders to Krishna. And for us, surrendering to Krishna means surrendering to the spiritual master. And the process of devotional service, Prabhupada says, in the beginning requires expert guidance. Right? In the beginning requires expert guidance. And that means then you know, following the sadhana process that's given basically by Srila Prabhupada. He's our guru, our acharya, our teacher, and by the senior devotees who are practiced in the process of devotional service, so that one can rise above or be situated on this platform where one's steady in heart, steady in mind, steady in devotional practice, so that when we see the forms of the material energy, we're not forced to engage with those objects of the senses internally. So there's the, you know, we see something, we think about it, okay. But then there's, we start to absorb our consciousness in it, right? And then by that association we become, what happens is we start to be influenced by the qualities of those objects that we meditate on, right? Sangat sanjayate kama, right? And you know, in the modern or the current situation, current culture that we live in, we're being, as Chaitanya Charan probably mentioned yesterday, we're being bombarded with all of these with all this imagery of what's so-called material perfection, right? And then we absorb our consciousness in those things and become attracted to or even attached to them just by our meditation, right? We think about something, and then if we meditate on it for too long, then we start, what does it feel like? And then, of course, once we become too absorbed in those things, then thinking, feeling, and then what comes next? Willing, right? And before long, willing means, you know, this is the subtle stage of action, right? This is the subtle development of the activities that we perform. So we're recommended to be regulated by the principles. Okay, the demons see the regulative principles as encagement. Oh, why are you restricted by all of these things? Right? This is torture. This is hell. Right? You know, when Prabhupada was talking to the Marquis of Zetland, no, not Prabhupada, it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, right? And he said, can you make me a Brahmana? Right? He wanted to be a Brahmana. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada said, yes, but you know, you've got to follow these principles. He said, oh, that's impossible. Right? Not possible. So, in order to get free from this inevitable chain of reactions, if you like, one has to come to the mode of goodness. And we do that automatically by the by the practice of bhakti, sadhana bhakti, which is a whole range of activities. Savai mana krishna padara vindayo vachamsi vaikuntha gunano vanane karo hare mandira majanadishu srutim acharya chucha sakto katodaya, something like that. This is all of the descriptions of the activities of Ambarish Maharaj, right? Predicated by what? What was he doing first? Savai mana krishna padara vindayo. What was he doing? Huh? Yeah, but which? Mind. Savai mana. Mana, his mind. Savai mana Krishna padara vindayo. What? He was thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna. Then what did he do? I've mentioned this many times. I like these verses. Karo hare mandira majanadishu. The first thing he did, walk to the temple. Karo hari mandir. Right? He went to the temple, marjanadishu. What was the first thing he did? Clean the temple. Right, so cleaning the heart, cleaning the, you know, cleanliness is the beginning of, you know, in good part, the beginning of devotional service. Right? So what's the first thing we do when we get up in the morning? Oh, we hope. We hope that's what you do. Clean the body. Clean the tongue, clean the teeth. Right? Have a shower. Put on fresh clothes. Put on tilak. Right? So this is all purification, cleanliness. Right? Come to the temple. See the deity. So, you know, we clean the external. That's kind of the easy part. But then the hard part is cleaning out all the rubbish that we got in our mind. Right? It's like a rubbish tip. Filthy. Well, I speak for myself. And so therefore, you know, we need to spend a couple of hours at least chanting Hare Krishna just to get to that spiritual substrata of consciousness or existence. Right? That I'm not the body, that I'm a spirit soul. Right? So when we leave the morning program, we should be confident in our consciousness and that we'll be able to take on the onslaught of the material energy, because, you know, that's, we're going to be hit by the mode of passion and by the mode of ignorance as soon as we walk out of the temple. You know? If we haven't already been hit by it, you know, because we haven't, didn't chant good rounds or didn't get to see the deities or, you know, didn't hear the Bhagavatam. These things are so essential. We kind of, speaking personally, we can become a little blasé about the whole process of devotional service and become too familiar with it, because we do it every day. And we forget the power, the potency of these activities. Right? Become too familiar with it. In order to counter, you know, this huge misunderstanding and misidentification with the body, with the mind, with the senses, and this is what our culture, not our culture, but the culture that we're living in is absorbed in. Right? This is the culture that we're fighting with in one sense. We were brought up with this culture. Well, I was brought up with this culture. So in one sense, we have to fight against it. If I don't have a good morning program, don't chant Hare Krishna, don't read Prabhupada's books, you know, my mind is like a Beatles jukebox. Because that's what I grew up with. Grew up with pop culture. And a pop culture, and there's a pop culture in India too, you know, it's Bollywood, it's music, it's the same kind of thing. And ultimately, you know, what does it take us? It leads towards what the demon's doing, and that's looking at pretty girls and having sex, basically. That's what Prabhupada says here. This is what demoniac culture leads to. Right? And we have to withstand that. We can't pretend that it doesn't exist, because it's a very real factor in our development of Krishna consciousness and will hold us back if we don't have the strong sadhana. Karo hare mandira marjanadishu. Keep things clean. You know, and cleanliness is in good, and Prabhupada said this, you know, cleanliness is good management. Right? It's the start of good management. Actually, I haven't seen him for many years. I used to buy computers from this gentleman, and he was famous, at least in Melbourne. He used to sell Taiwanese, you know, knockoffs of IBM computers. Right? This is when DOS was just starting and computers were just in the 80s. And I used to go to his house. He used to sell out of his house. Now he drives a Porsche, and he's big office, big, you know, connections with IBM and Lenovo. He's a big Lenovo dealer in Melbourne. And he and I were quite friendly. He and I were good friends. In fact, I remember a few years ago, I rang up to buy some computers from this fellow. from his business. And I didn't often get to speak to him because he was the boss now, and you know, I had to deal with the underlings. But he happened to be there. He happened to be there when I rang up his sales rep, who I was very friendly with also. And he heard that it was me, and he knew me by my legal name. And but when I rang up that time, and I didn't know that he was there, then he called out, "Hey, Annie Ruder, how's it going?" Right. So you know, but one of the things that I remember was he always kept his desk spotlessly clean. Right? And so, and sometimes I'd come to visit him on the weekend or whatever. And, you know, he and I would sometimes would have a computer problem. I'd have a problem with a computer. We'd stay up all night. This is how friendly we were. Right? Stay up all night solving the problem, whatever the problem was. And he did it for nothing. He used to do it for me for free. I used to push him so hard, I guess. But we're also friends. So anyway, but the thing that he was always focused on what he needed to do. I was impressed by that. And that I'd come there sometimes on a Saturday morning or you know, and he'd be cleaning his office and cleaning his desk. So his desk was spotless. Right? You know, sometimes you go into some people's offices and their desk and there's just papers all over the place. Right? And they don't know what they're doing. Or it's always emergency, you know, respond to this, react to that. Blah, 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 blah. Right? So, you know, mode of goodness is very important. And the beginning of goodness is cleanliness. And cleanliness for the devotees is not just external cleanliness, but internal cleanliness, which means absorption in japa. Absorption in the Bhagavatam and the vision of the Bhagavatam, the vision of the Shastra. Because that's the only way that we're going to be able to see through this, the influence of the mode of passion, the influence of the mode of ignorance. It's the only way. And that's why the surrender to Prabhupada and Prabhupada's process, the sadhana process that Prabhupada gave us, is so important in the beginning, and not only the beginning, the middle and the end, basically, of a Vaishnava's practice. Especially if we're coming out of, you know, Kali Yuga consciousness. Huh? For those of us, and even for those of who were born as devotees and have practiced, you know, from childhood, even is arguable for them. They've got to stick to this process as well. Because the contamination and the influence of the demoniac mentality, it's all around us. Right? All around us. When you walk out on the street, it's all there. And so, in that way, we remain connected to Krishna and able to see with this proper vision and can remain yogis, basically. Our yoga practice is as good as sitting, you know, in a sacred place and performing the Ashtanga yoga process that was performed in the Kriti Yuga or the Satya Yuga. But our process is a process of dynamic action, right? It has to be, because you know how many of us can sit still in one place just to chant 16 rounds? How many of us can sit actually just in one place and chant Hare Krishna peacefully without being disturbed by anything? Right? You got to get up and walk around. Right? We're just always pushed to do something. Right? So how do we do it? How do we purify that tendency towards passionate action? We purify it by engaging our mind and senses in all of the devotional activities that come with the process of bhakti yoga. And that process is so powerful that it can overcome. You can get the same results. What is it? Kritaya jayatam Vishnu. Tretayam yajato mukai, tuapayam pariyacharyam, kalo tadhari kirtanat. So by following the process of devotional service, which is based on chanting of Hare Krishna, we get the same results that were achieved by thousands of years, tens of thousands of years of meditation in Satya Yuga. Right? We get the same result. By purifying our activities by engaging them in, you know, the Krishna service. And for us that means ultimately Harinam, Sankirtan and the preaching. Basically the activities of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness embrace all of the descriptions of the activities that Maharaj Ambarish engaged in. Right? So, you know, what's the first thing we do? Get up in the morning, and what do? Karo Hare Mandira. We go to the temple first, right? And then we clean it, or we clean ourselves. Cleanliness is, you know, the basis, if you like, or the beginning. And is as much dependent on the external cleanliness as it is, probably more so, the external cleanliness is rests on the internal, right? The pure consciousness of the spirit soul. So this is our means of combating the influence of the age, which most people are thoroughly absorbed in, and they just think it's normal. Right? And they think we're abnormal. And we are. Happily so. As we realise, this place is a mess. I don't want to be... You know, I realised when I was working on the building sites, I thought, I don't want to be like these guys. Whenever a girl walks down the street, they go, they're whistling. And I think, not that I was immune to it myself, you know. But I didn't want to be like that. Right? I thought, this is horrible. I'm suffering. They're suffering, but they think they're enjoying. But I was suffering. I thought, I don't want to suffer anymore. I want out. And so when I met the devotees, I thought, wow, this is it. Fantastic. Let me do this. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions? Oh, best of the demons. Oh, sorry, best of the devotees. Best of the demons. That's what Prahlad Maharaj was called, right? He's the best of the devotees, but he's addressed as the best of the demons. Because he was a devotee. Jad Bharat Prabhu.
Yes. Prabhu, just one comment. I've seen from personal experience that the more you try to control your senses, the more you're again thinking about them. So just don't think about it.
Don't think about it. Yeah. That's why the Kamis say, oh, this is too hard. I tried that. No, it hurt too much. So... Arjuna asked the same question. You mentioned this yesterday. The senses and the mind are so strong. You know, how am I going to do this? This is impossible. And Krishna says, yes, it is difficult, but possible. And how? By regulation and by detachment. Right? So regulation means having a good, strong sadhana. Prabhupada says, sadhana means one who knows the goal of life and how to achieve it. We know what the goal of life is. We know the process to achieve it. So that's following a regulated program. Go to bed early. You know, for me, the most important thing is not the morning program. The most important thing is for me is to go to bed early. Right? Because if I don't go to bed early, then the morning program's impossible. Right? You wake up with the alarm clock at 4 o'clock, and you're kind of like, whoa, what happened? Right? And then you go to Mangalati, you chant around, you're like, but basically because we didn't get enough sleep. I functioned for years like that. So now but now I can't do it anymore. I have to sleep. My body just says, you're sleeping, forget about waking up, because you can't. You won't. I don't. I can't. Or if you wake me up, it'll be like. So, early to bed, say for example. So, regulated program and detachment. When the mind says jump, you say, hang on a second. What for? Why? But detachment means, you know, removing yourself from the situation and looking at things from an objective point of view, from the point of view of the Shastra, right? Rather than, oh, jump, okay, rightio. When you stand on top of the Rialto building and look at this Sri, the mind is going to say, hey, jump. Right? When you're on top of a big building, what does the mind say? Jump. The intelligence says, hang on a second, wait a minute. That's not a good idea. So detachment means stepping back, looking at things from an objective point of view, analysing and deciding whether it's actually the right thing to do or not. This is a thoughtful, you know, one of the qualities of a devotee is that they're thoughtful, considerate, not passionate, just jump in. Right? So that's two things are recommended. Steady practice, which in and of itself is not easy. And then detachment means, you know, stepping back and not necessarily going with the flow. The whole, you know, media, multimedia marketing system is designed to keep everybody going with the flow. Right? And it pushes us. So being somewhat detached. I saw something on Chaitanya Charan's Twitter feed the other day. He said, the life is like a movie, right? Or you could say life is like a television series, but you don't have to watch every episode. Right? So you don't have to. We don't have to get into everything that's going on around the place just because the karmis say, yeah, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do the other thing. I said, well, hang on a second. So a devotee steps back. So that's detachment. We cultivate detachment. Stepping back and looking at things from an objective point of view and deciding, I'm not going to do that because I know the consequences. So two things. They're the things we need to cultivate. And that's why reading Prabhupada's books and hearing the Bhagavatam is so important. Even if we're struggling with these things, fine, that's okay, we're going to struggle. That's tick, that's a given. Don't worry about the fact that there's going to be struggle. But if we keep absorbing our consciousness in the words of the Acharyas and in Prabhupada's meditation, and in the lives and the examples of the Mahabhagavat devotees. This is the reason why we study the Bhagavatam, is to see how the Mahabhagavat, and this is why we study the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the prototype or the archetype set of behaviours exemplified by Mahaprabhu for us, right? Chaitanya Charitamrita is so important for us because it shows how the devotees engage in devotional service in the Sankirtan movement. This is Lord Chaitanya's reason for appearing, was to show us how to be a devotee. And so the more we absorb ourselves in those discussions, conversations, the topics, the examples, even if we're having difficulty, which is a given, will learn eventually by that regular practice and by stepping back and looking at things from an objective point of view, that detachment, will gradually learn how to, and rapidly actually, learn how to be a, you know, properly situated and be able to see things from the point of view of the Shastra, Shastra Chakshush. Not easy, but possible. Right? Not easy, but possible. And that's why we keep on coming back for more. Because we know it works. Some days we get it right. And then we're everywhere we go, every step is a dance, every word is a song. You had days like that? No? Should be. That's what Krishna consciousness is all about. Other days, but we stick at it because ultimately we get the higher taste. That's why we keep doing it. We get a higher taste. That's how we're able to overcome the working of the material energy that most people cannot. Because they don't get a higher taste, but we get the higher taste out of, especially out of chanting Hare Krishna, but also out of the pages of the Bhagavatam and the other books that Prabhupada wrote. We get the higher taste out of those things and we get the transcendental vision. So we're able to withstand stuff. May not be perfect every day, but as we move forward, we will. So regulation, that means doing the same thing. Detachment. Cultivating knowledge and keeping aloof. Anybody, anything else? Realizations? No? Okay, Gandharva Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Brinda ki jai.